You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. I'm Ken Gale, and this is a WBAI Arts Special.
A young girl in a bookstore, lost in her imagination. She could be anyone, go anywhere. Real or not, she doesn't care. There's no limitation, just words. A young man in his first job tries to make a good impression. Writing for the candidate, stretch it, twist it, fabricate. That's his new profession, just words. Make a big thing small, make a small thing big. Losers win with the right spin. Don't look, just listen. Nothing will lift your mood more than a trip to our big new food store. Fresh baked goodies, preserved like new, radiated just for you. Think it's really food or just words. The TV news comes on again. They miss the demonstration. Some tycoon pardoned Hal Kuhl. Gunfight at the preschool. Bad news on every station. More words. Make a big thing small. Make a small thing big. Losers win with a right spin. Don't look, just listen. A voice of hope, a cry of fear. Word from the tower to the bombardier. The word of God in your good ear. The clothes you've got to wear, what safe opinions you should share. Our personal goals make you a winner. Learn how to network your way through dinner. Make others think you really care with just words. You don't need to worry about what's false or true. You'll be told what you should know. If it's time for you to go, you'll never see what hits you. Just words. Make a big thing small. Make a small thing big. Losers win with a right spin. Don't look, just listen. Make a big thing small. Make a small thing big. Losers win with the right spin. Don't look.
And that was Just Words with the Ray Corona Band. And I'm here with Ray Corona.
Well, hello.
Now, if I were to tell people that you gave up a law practice to become a full-time folk singer, I don't think anybody would believe me.
Well, I did it for the money. And this is actually true in a way. I had always been a kind of an activist, and it seemed to me when I was thinking of going to law school that that was a good way to change the world. So we did get in and managed to create a public interest law firm with half women and half men and multicultural attorneys and did all sorts of wonderful things. But people were running out of money because we had to do most of this on our credit cards, and a lot of the poor people we represented didn't have anything to pay us with. And also times were changing, and some of the work we had been doing was pretty much resolved. So most of the people decided to go various ways, and I kind of had always wanted to do the music and was staying in the law as a matter of conscience and doing the music part-time. So this gave me a perfect opportunity to move on and feel that I had given a lot from my left brain, and now I could make the right brain work a little harder. So in a way, when I say it's for the money, to run these public interest cases is a very expensive proposition, much more expensive than just making phone calls and traveling around the country playing folk music. So you really don't lose as much.
It does sound amazing. It's going to sound amazing to most people, I think. But, you know, how many CDs do you have out now?
Well, there are half a dozen CDs, and we have also done some special projects. And in a way, it kind of was a prelude to the digital revolution. We would put out a cassette tape at one time on an issue and try to get the issue around that way, a single song or a two-song cassette tape. And then a little later on down the line, we would do that with a special CD. and now what we try to do most of the time for the current issues is when we realize that something's going on and it needs to be addressed by us political musicians, is we get our song together and record it, and it goes up on the internet, and maybe the time span from when we wrote the song till the time that thousands of people are downloading it could be as little as a day or two.
Wow.
And you have to be fast, because we know that they're fast. And if you're really fast, you can hear the kinds of songs that we put out about current issues of all sorts that require immediate attention if you go to our website, because we put them there for free. And you can usually download them or just listen to them. The address is, after the three W's, raycorona.com. It's RayKorona.com. But I fixed it, so if you insist on spelling my name with a C, I'll get it anyway. And when you get there, go to Urgent Songs for those special kinds of songs.
Now, I mean, there's a lot going on, and you write songs on so many different issues. You know, we heard a few of them just now. How do you decide what to write about?
Well, I think it has to be something that rings true to you, and I'm sure that people have heard that story before from other artists of all sorts. It's not something you can fake. You can't say, oh, this is a popular thing, let me write a song about it. And you really shouldn't try to write songs about things that you don't know anything about. It's kind of hard for me as basically a city guy to write a song about some horrible problem that a farmer is having somewhere or a coal miner is having, even though I might really care and feel very sympathetic. So I tend to go with what I feel and what's happening for me. And one way of expressing myself and often making myself feel better is to put it into a song, and hopefully that will also empower other people, as well as perhaps get the issue around a little bit more. You know, with speeches and talk and with books and with literature, you kind of have a selectivity process that goes on in advance. People decide what magazines they won't look at and what ones they generally like, or likewise for any other media. But with music, it kind of just jumps over the fence. You can hear it anywhere. It's quick. It comes in. It makes its point in maybe 3 minutes. And often those 3 minutes are filled with other things that are getting your attention. You're hearing music that you might like. You're hearing a catchy chorus. You're hearing something that's just intriguing or funny or whatever. So it has a power to get through. And I think that's one of the reasons I thought it was maybe the best place to go for me if I wanted to express my activism.
Do you think it really works?
Oh, yeah. And I have lots of proof of that. In fact, one of the things that tells you how well it works is just look at what the movers and shakers of free enterprise system do. Can you think of a product that hasn't been greatly enhanced in sales if it got a good catchy theme song? And we all know them. We don't have to name any of them, but there's so many jingles out there, and these are not done just for the fun of putting a jingle up. Or because people like music. These are done because there really is a connection between what people think and what people do and the music they hear.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of phrases in commercial that people repeat in song. You know, when it just comes up in conversation, all of a sudden they're repeating in song. And so the product pops up in conversation when the conversation's not about that product.
That's true. And also, our ideas about things. Well, Bruce Springsteen said that he learned more from a 3-minute song than he ever learned in school in one of his lyrics. And other people say similar things. I know that many times when I'm in a group and people are talking about something that I'm not really familiar with, the only connection that I have to it is a part of a song that suddenly comes into my mind and I realize, well, that's what that's about.
Of course, the people on the other side certainly use music to great effect.
Nothing like a military marching band to get them to go up Hamburger Hill.
And you told me that the KKK uses music.
Yeah, there was a Panzerfaust Records, which was apparently something supported by some Klan groups and their friends. They thought it would be a good idea to make 100,000 CDs of music that basically racist and not very nice to Jews and other people, and put these CDs out so that they could be distributed for free in a project called Operation Schoolyard. Nice way to get their message to young people who may be impressionable. And they knew full well that if they put the right music behind it, had a much better chance of getting through.
Yeah, because what kid's not going to listen to a grown-up making a speech, that's for sure.
Yeah, if the kids actually saw the guys behind this music, they might not be impressed.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of dictators, one of the first things they do when they become dictator is get rid of the musicians.
Absolutely.
They let the writers write their books, but they can't let the musicians write their music, man.
Buffy St. Marie, as many people know, was a very successful songwriter in the 1960s. She was an Indian, an American Indian, and she wrote powerful songs about her culture and Indian history and Indian struggles. And she also wrote some fantastic peace songs during the time of the Vietnam War. One of them was called The Universal Soldier. Well, Buffy reports that she found out years later that a lot of her music was actually being suppressed and by the President of the United States, Lyndon Johnson, no less. Apparently, Johnson had written letters on White House stationery praising radio stations that decided that they weren't going to play those songs like Universal Soldier on their airways. And even worse, Buffy reports that she also found out that thousands of her recordings, which were LPs at the time and had a lot to say about those issues, had been mysteriously disappeared. In other words, they never got from the manufacturing stages to the record stores and places where people would be able to get them and hear what she had to say. But the 60s was a good example of how powerful the music could be. I think that the whole anti-war movement in that time was greatly driven by the music that people were listening to.
That's for sure. You really can't separate anti-war politics from the 60s with the music of the 60s. It's really one big culture, and not two sides of the same coin. It's the same side.
And this is true for an incredible number of revolutionary movements. We also know that the civil rights movement was powered by music. And there's a comment that John McCutcheon, who's the president of Local 1000, part of the labor movement that many of us political folk musicians belong to. John says that he's gone around asking people how many speeches they can remember from the, from the civil rights movement. And he says, usually they remember, "I had a dream," and maybe one more, but he said, that's about it. But if you ask about songs, people can go on all evening, and many of them can sing the songs. So I think that shows that that what Joe Hill said was true. Joe Hill had commented that...
Who's Joe Hill?
Well, Joe Hill was a labor organizer. He was a Swedish man who made his mark on the labor movement in America and was a icon of that movement. He wrote songs like "Pie in the Sky," "When I Die," "That's a Lie." Joe said, people will read a pamphlet maybe one time, and maybe they'll read it again to their friends, but it's not like a song. If they like that song, they're going to learn it and they're going to sing it over and over and over every chance they get.